You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Happy Thursday, the final day of the month of August. Coming your way here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. 1600 ESPN, KGYM, thank you for joining us, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me in just a moment from his back porch in the southwest side, and Andrew joining us here on a Thursday, otherwise known as three people not cut by the Los Angeles Angels in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
How are you, Andrew?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. Mark joining us here on a beautiful Thursday. This is the first real football-type feeling weather day of 2023. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Scott, and Andrew, and everyone out there, and yeah, tonight is the start of a very long weekend, the longest of the season in football, at least on the college front. Games tonight through Monday.
Monday. We've got a lot of them right here for you on KGYM, and we'll get more to that. Of course, we've got Iowa State and UNI coming up on Saturday. Florida State and LSU will be Sunday night, and then we've got Clemson and Duke coming up on Monday. Got a baseball game on Monday afternoon for you to throw and sprinkle in there as well. So got a lot of things. If you always are wondering what we have on, you can go to our website at kgymradio.com, take a look at our broadcast schedule, and it'll be up and ready to go for you right there. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union each and every day here on the Gym Class and KGYM. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by checking them out at their website at dupaco.com. We got a big show coming up for you. Rob Gray is going to join us just in a couple of minutes here. We are going to talk about Iowa State football, Cyclones, and the UNI Panthers coming up on Saturday. And then Jason Turner is going to join us. And Jason is with the Herald Journal News in Logan, Utah. He covers the Utah State Aggies. And we will talk Iowa and Utah State coming up here in just a little bit. We'll get an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update in there as well from Mark, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. Open at 4 o'clock, 6 days a week, Saturday through Monday. Mark, I kind of kidded at the introduction of the show today that we are three people that have not been cut by the LA Angels. It's a head-scratcher to me, man. I mean, there have been times where you have released maybe one, maybe two, but to release five top flight players, and maybe some of them still with a lot of years that they can be pretty good. You're a little bit worried because the Cleveland Guardians plucked three of those guys up.
Yeah, very interesting. And you mentioned the Angels getting rid of five. Four were claimed, three by Cleveland, starter Lucas Giolito, and relievers Reynaldo Lopez and Matt Moore. Guys, you're familiar with, Scott.
Oh, yeah.
The Reds picked up Hunter Renfroe from the Angels and Harrison Bader from the Yankees. So the Twins play Cleveland next week on the road. I'm not sure how many more games against the Guardians, but could have some impact.
Could have some impact, indeed. I would have loved it if the White Sox picked up both Lopez and Giolito again, but apparently did not want anything to do with it. They're too busy hiring people from within after firing people from within. Yeah, go figure. It is a strange day in the American League today. Can I just say that safely?
Yeah, I think some of the players that weren't picked up, I mean, you're basically, it's a one-month rental in a lot of guys' case. And it's going to cost you $5 million. So it doesn't seem real worth it in some cases. But I know Cleveland probably is hoping those three pitchers can help down the road as well.
Well, that would have probably been as much as the salary or less still. The salary impact if they made a trade at the trade deadline. They did not, so they're still in it. Why not take a chance and roll the dice and see if Giolito can come up aces for the Cleveland Guardians. Ronaldo Lopez, good arm as well. I think he's still got plenty of good years. And as I mentioned, Giolito's only 29, so interesting moves today. Yeah, a lot of football this weekend. And text line available to you at 319-366-1600. Always love to hear from our great listeners out there. Again, 319-366-1600. Ralph in Riverside. Yes, all those games are nice, but they pale in comparison to the Jayhawks in Marshalltown tonight. Kingston. I'll be out there with John Hegarty on CRMLiveSports.com at 7 o'clock tonight. But we're going to keep an eye on the college games as well. And that includes Iowa State UNI coming up on Saturday, as Rob Gray is going to join us coming up here in a couple minutes here. And Andrew's going to get him on the horn. And we will talk Iowa State football with Rob, who covers the Cyclones for both the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And he is back at Cyclone Fanatic now with Chris Williams and company. So we will talk with Rob coming up here in just a moment. Slate of games tonight on college football, highlighted by Minnesota-Nebraska, Mark, which is the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com.
It is indeed a pretty simple one. Who wins tonight's Big Ten opener? It'd be Minnesota or Nebraska. Go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com.
Yeah, we'll give our prediction at the end. A lot of predictions coming up on tomorrow's show. We'll talk about Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, Big Ten, Big 12, maybe the national scene. We'll have the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, the very first edition of the year. Looking forward to that coming up on a Friday edition of the Gym Class tomorrow right here on KGYM. Again, if you have anything to add, love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. So you can go to the text line. You can also reach us on the phone line as well. Again, that is 319-366-1600 as Thursday night football kicking off the weekend here this evening. And baseball is still not done yet, Mark. As you know, it's been done for me for 3 months, but it is not done for you. It's not going away. But as I told you when we got together for the recording of our Before the Boom podcast, by the way, which will be available for you probably late tomorrow morning or so. And, well, right around the noontime, look for it, KGYMradio.com or where you find your favorite podcasts. I woke up today and there's no golf today, Mark. I'm a little lost. There's no golf to keep track of today.
No, and there won't be until the Ryder Cup come the end of September. And we need a break, Scott. We really do. We worked hard on the fantasy season, and we need a break.
Hey, well, we got one indeed. So Rob Gray is going to join us coming up here in just a moment. Andrew's got him on the phone. Iowa State and UNI will renew their rivalry coming up on Saturday. We've got it at 11 o'clock for you with John Walters and Eric Heft, and a cast of thousands on all of our frequencies here on 1600 ESPN. And also 102.3 FM and 106.3 FM, as well as Iowa State. We'll open up the season with a refreshing 1 o'clock kickoff that we all like, especially our next guest, Rob Gray. Give him a follow on Twitter. Read his stuff in two places now, at thegazette.com and also with Cyclone Fanatic. I know you're happy to be back with Chris and everybody at Cyclone Fanatic, Rob.
Well, yeah, and I'm especially happy that it can make it work with the Gazette, too. Essentially, I never changed the way that I wrote, you know, whoever I was writing for. So it seems like a good fit all around. And, yeah, I'm really pleased to have that type of expansion, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And, well, there hasn't been a shortage of things to write about, that's for sure. In your time being around Iowa State football, have you ever gone into an opener with, you know, everything up in the air as it is this year?
You know, there have been times where it's been close, but you throw in the uniqueness, badly unique for Iowa and Iowa State athletics in terms of the state's gambling probe and how that's affected things. And then you have a team where I've certainly never seen as many oars on the depth chart entering week one. And sometimes there are a lot of oars, but this might be a record, especially a quarterback and tailback. You've got four oars, quarterback, you've got a redshirt freshman and a true freshman. So you've hardly seen any of them play, at least at this level. And then across a variety of position groups, a lot of unsettled. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing, as coaches have said. But that's a we'll see kind of situation.
No, or doesn't necessarily mean it's a perilous situation by any means. The running backs in particular, when you got four oars among five running backs, what has Matt Campbell said about the usage and distribution of those guys?
Yeah, Mark, he said all five could play on Saturday. And he said both quarterbacks will play, and possibly even junior college transfer Tanner Hughes, because he's a really big guy that they think they can use in a lot of short yardage packages. You know, Cartavius Norton, saw him flash at times last year, hampered by injuries throughout the season. Eli Sanders, same thing, kind of learning to make his reads. And then you bring in true freshmen like Abu Sama out of Southeast Polk. He's wowed the staff in the fall. And Carson Hansen, same thing, as a true freshman. And then you bring in A.J. Harris, transfer from Stanford. They feel really good about all those guys. But again, as Campbell says, quote, until the lights come on, unquote, you don't know who's going to be able to be the primary guy. And they're going to sort through it with a true all-hands-on-deck situation there and in some other spots.
Mentioned the quarterback position, and that's got the most, I think, well, quarterback always gets the most eyeballs on it, but Rocco Beck, the redshirt freshman, you got true freshman J.J. Cole, who checks all the boxes, great arm, 6'7", 250. Cyclone fans, I think, salivating to get him in there. And then you mentioned there's going to be some situations, I think, where Matt Campbell on Saturday is going to throw Tanner Hughes in there on a short yardage try to go a little run pass option anyway. Is this just kind of a situation where Matt Campbell and everybody on the offensive side of the football are just kind of hoping somebody takes the lead, whether it be Becht or Cole in this situation, maybe not necessarily Saturday, but going into the Big 12 year?
Yeah, Scott, I think at some point they would like somebody to be quote-unquote the guy. But it's interesting because Becht is a former four-star, son of an NFL veteran, tight end Anthony Becht, an XFL coach now. He's 6'1", 205. Cole's 6'7", 250. I was thinking about Campbell said, I believe, around media day that they had seasons at Toledo where they played two quarterbacks a lot. I mean, throughout the course of the season. And so it's not outside the realm of possibility that one guy's really good in some aspects, another guy's better in other aspects, and you still cycle them in and out. I mean, would that seem to be ideal? It never is. If you see it happen in the NFL, for instance, you don't go, well, boy, that team's really got it going on offense. They're playing two quarterbacks all the time, unless it's a wildcat situation or something like that, you know, where when the Saints with Taysom Hill. But, yeah, at some point it settles. At this point, it's too close to call, and that's why they're going to say, you know, roll out against an always dangerous Panthers team with both guys splitting time.
Well, there's no uncertainty for the opponent. It's certainly Theo Day's team. Terrific quarterback, John Heacock, defensive coordinator, described him as an NFL quarterback, and I don't necessarily dispute that. On the other hand, I think Iowa State might be sneaky good. They're really strong in the secondary. What say you?
Yes. Another quote-unquote NFL guy is TJ Tampa, the senior corner, 6'2", 200, really, really a lockdown type, and wants to, you know, could have probably gone, so certainly could have gone elsewhere with NIL, but recommitted, stayed loyal to Iowa State, and the guy on the other end, Miles Purchase, is a very, very good cornerback as well. And then you've got a trio of really good safeties with strong starting experience in Bo Freeler, Malik Verdon, who was banged up a lot, Jeremiah Cooper, who got banged up late in the season, but made a march as a true freshman a year ago. They've got a lot of good guys back there. Now, they're greener at linebacker with the veteran Gary Vaughn and a true freshman and a redshirt freshman slated to start. And a little bit up front when you lose a Will McDonald, your first-round pick, off the edge in 50 years, and other guys. But, they might have a hard time finding guys open. And Haycock scheming along with, the cornerbacks coach Hank Petit and safeties coach Deion Broomfield, who, of course, played at Iowa State. They're always really sound in what they do. So that's an interesting matchup because Dave was so good last year after being kind of iffy the first year of transferring. That's definitely going to be a matchup to watch for sure.
On the defensive side of the ball, front seven especially for Iowa State, obviously with Lee not there now, one returner among those top seven, Vaughn at linebacker. I know they brought in another linebacker as far as the portal is concerned. But you lose Will McDonald like that. You lose some other guys. Although, I really, really like Will McLaughlin. I think he's going to be pretty good down the road and maybe even this year. But is there a concern among those front seven on the defensive side?
There really isn't, even though they're going to play a lot of guys there, too. I mean, J.R. Singleton has been there a long time. He's back in the interior. When they run, at least when they run four-man front, obviously they got three-man front a lot. But Dom Orange is a guy to watch. It knows that, you know, he was 6'4", about 350 last season as a true freshman. He played enough to be a sophomore this season. He's trimmed down to 335. He's a guy to watch. And Tyler O'Niedem on one end and Joey Peterson on the other, a legacy guy whose dad played there and Zach, you'll probably remember, played there in recent years. They're really high on those guys. And then the young linebackers, Jack Sadowski, a true freshman, came in and earned a starting spot over the transfer, Zach Lovett. I mean, that's saying quite a bit, I would think. Now, how much separation is there? Who knows? But, I mean, at the other – you mentioned Will McLaughlin. He's listed second string at the Sam linebacker behind redshirt freshman Carson Woolidge. But there can't be that much separation there either. So, again, a lot of rotation, a lot of guys playing, and they feel good about what they have. But, again, other than that secondary, most of it's unproven.
Rob, how important are these first three games, not only against you and I, hosting Iowa, going to Ohio U, especially last year, so many close calls. How important are the first three games?
Absolutely critical, Mark. I mean, remember last year they did go start 3-0, including the 10-7 win at Iowa. That wasn't pretty in a lot of ways for either side. And then just struggled in all those close games. You said six of their eight losses by a touchdown or less, and then the TCU game got away from them. The Oklahoma game was essentially a one-score game, but for a late interception, then Oklahoma returned. So they were right there. Now they don't have, again, the Will McDonalds. They don't have, you know, your starting quarterback from last year, Hunter Deckers. You don't have Jairoel Brock, the starting tailback from last year because of the charges stemming from the gambling inquiry. So, again, a lot of unknown, but I've talked to people around the program off the record, and they really believe they have quality talent. One guy told me, oftentimes if you say you got two guys, you've got none because you're just trying to find someone to meet the standard. They truly believe that these positions where multiple people are competing, they have people meeting the standard and exceeding the standard. They're just not separating much from one another.
Rob Gray joining us at 3:23 on a Thursday, August 31st edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Kicking game's got to get better too, Rob. I think that's the bottom line. And what's that looking like going into the season with guys back? Jace Gilbert, 12, I think miss was 12-20, I believe, in the back of my mind last year. But got to have better field goal kicking and punting, especially in close games.
Yeah, I mean, the field goal kicking was you know, a real concern, arguably cost them a couple of games, some missed field goals in situations where, you know, you consider that's a makeable kick. Well, what's happened there is Chase Contreras, Missouri Valley kid who went to Nebraska, has transferred in, and he's got the top spot right now.
Okay.
Keegan Shackford, who was injured his hamstring, I believe, last season, he's listed second string. Gilbert's still around, and they still all say all good things about him and the way he's competing. But at this point, there's a complete turnover there. And they, besides the errant field goals, their touchback percentage is one of the worst in the country. And no matter how good your kick coverage is, if you're not consistently putting that ball through the end zone, you know, teams are getting that extra 3, 4, 5 yards of field position to start a drive. And that can be critical, especially when you play in so many close games.
Rob, how much did the gambling investigation and subsequent penalties weigh on this team? How much did it weigh on Campbell? I mean, you're talking about your starting quarterback, your starting running back, among others, and then to find out a teammate bet against you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's mentally challenging because they've invested obviously a lot of time and a lot of trust in those players. Now, again, I'm of the mind that just because this happened to those people who were charged with the underage issues and then tampering with records, it doesn't make them bad people. I mean, I can remember some decisions I made when I was 18 to 22 years old and much later, maybe even yesterday, that weren't the best. So I think it was a sobering moment probably for the staff and certainly probably some of the team too, the players, that it doesn't feel like it's diminished enthusiasm. Sometimes you can feel, or there's a sense, a vibe you get, and the vibe I've gotten in covering them through the spring, summer, and fall is that they're fully on board with who they have. They're putting that behind them, and, you know, again, so much unproven. But they feel good about at least the foundation they have, and they can finally, they think, at least put that stuff in the past now that some people have been are no longer on the team.
Is there a little spring in everyone's step around Ames right now with the four new schools coming into the Big 12? Of course, next year, the departure of Texas and Oklahoma, but then four more come in. Especially going to Cincinnati and going to BYU this year, that's got to impact you a little bit, I would think.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, imagine being Washington State or Oregon State, schools that have been in the so-called Conference of Champions for a long, long, long time, and they're just left sitting looking at the table with an empty hand, you know. The last round of realignment, the Big 12 had some real challenges this time. Brett Yormark and people involved with the organization were proactive instead of reactive. And, you know, the situation with the Pac-12 not being able to get favorable media rights deals for so long, and then when they got it, a lot of teams were dissatisfied. That played into that. But I think the Big 12 showed itself to be stronger than a lot of people may have thought. So, yes, I think people are excited about that. I know some people are fans are planning road trips, particularly at BYU, one of the most beautiful settings for college football there in Provo I've ever been. But it's a challenging schedule for Iowa State in an already challenging season where they're going to break in more new guys than they ever have. So spring in the step, yeah. We'll see how they feel about it once we get well into the season.
As you know, Rob, you can never discount a Mark Farley coach team. And if you do, you're going to find yourself in trouble. What concerns do Matt Campbell have about this Panther team?
Well, Coach Campbell has always said he's got a lot of respect for Coach Farley. And he's obviously been at UNI a long time, took him to a national championship game, takes him to the playoffs multiple times, semis multiple times, etc. I mean, and the Panthers always get really strong, you know, top shelf FCS talent, and they brought in a few transfers this year to help on the D line. They don't look weak anywhere. I know they're green at running back, but they've got experienced receivers and explosive receivers for Theo Day. Little bit inexperienced on the offensive line as well, but they're always prepared. They come and they're packaging. They're executing well. With one exception, I think a game. You and I turned it over a lot that kind of got away from them the last four or five times they played Iowa State. They're just fundamentally as sound as you can be. And that's difficult. That's what Campbell aspires the Cyclones to be. That's what they've been when they've been at their best. And it's certainly what they were not when they made mistakes in critical times last season with all the close losses. So, again, most of these games are close. It's week one. The Panthers have very, very good talent, just fewer scholarships to add depth. And sometimes that wears them down a little bit. But this is usually a pick 'em game. And at this point, I've got to say it's a pick 'em game from my perspective as well.
Hey, before we let you go, what is the range of this Iowa State team as far as wins on the field this year? Where would you put it?
I'd put it the same, exact same as last year. I think the floor is probably 4-8-ish, and I think the ceiling is 8-4. And maybe, you know, if they win all the close games, and, you know, that's kind of everything they broke their way in the COVID year of 2020, you know, when they played in their first New Year's Six Bowl and beat Oregon convincingly and matched the school record with 9 wins. So it's going to be a rocky ride at times. It's going to be an exciting ride at times for Iowa State fans, but the potential is there to restore itself as a winning program after the 5-season streak ended last year with the 4-8 mark. But a lot has to break right to reach that top end instead of veering closer to that floor.
And Saturday is big, right?
It is very big.
All right. Hey, Rob, great stuff as usual. Talk to you later. Keep up the great work with Cyclone Fanatic and the Gazette, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Always appreciate joining you guys.
All right, thanks. Rob Gray joining us here on the Gym Class here on a Thursday on KGYM at 3:31. Mark, going to get it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update before we talk Utah State football coming up. And, of course, it's brought to you by your scoreboard update, Emil's Hideaway in First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're open at 4 o'clock. Stop on by. They are a classic local American restaurant off First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall. What do we have today?
Major League Baseball, only 4 games on the schedule, 3 at night. 1 has been completed. Detroit defeated the Yankees 4-3 in 10 innings. After the Yankees tied it in the bottom of the ninth, or the top of the ninth, 3-3. Little love to the Cedar Rapids Colonels. We haven't talked a whole lot about that ball club this year, but the Colonels won again last night, beating Lake County, and now stand 77-45 overall for the season, one of the best records in club history. And that series continues through the rest of the week. And then the Colonels will be looking forward to the playoffs. TJ Hockenson signed a long-term contract with the Minnesota Vikings, 4-year deal, $18.5 million. And immediately he announced he was going to purchase his hometown of Cheriton. Nick Saban did not release a depth chart for Alabama for the opener against Middle Tennessee, much to the chagrin of media down there, but most observers believe freshman Caden Proctor will be the starting left tackle for that game. We missed a practice squad player yesterday. Former Cedar Rapids, Washington great Julian Good-Jones signed to the Eagles practice squad. And finally, Gil Brandt has died at the age of 91. He joined the Cowboys when it was a fledgling team and helped lead them to greatness through a couple different decades, overshadowed by Tex Schramm and Tom Landry a bit. But he was a scouting genius.
I agree, and that pains me to say, to give compliments to the Dallas Cowboys, but what a great talent evaluator Gil Brandt was in his day. 319-366-1600, some texts. We will get to those coming up here in just a little bit about college football. And if you have one, get it to us. Again, 319-366-1600. We'll take a break, come back, and we're going to be joined by Jason Turner, covers the Utah State Aggies, when we return on the Jim Glass on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine. Temperatures will be in the upper 70s to low 80s, and then as we head into tonight, we'll drop down into the low 50s. So still cool and refreshing tomorrow morning, but does start to heat up. We'll get into the mid 80s tomorrow afternoon, and then we'll be in the low to mid 90s Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It is going to be hot, but thankfully not as humid as last week's heat wave. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Fry Fest, a celebration of all that is Hawkeye.
Presented by the Eastern Iowa Airport.
On Friday, September 1st, we'll be celebrating Herky the Hawk's 75th birthday bash. Take part in the Fry Fest games, kids' activities, a concert by Pop Rocks,
and the world's largest Hawkeye trade show.
Kick off the athletic season the right way at Fry Fest. Visit fryfest.com for details. Plus, check out all of our upcoming events for the year, including our fall golf outing
at thinkiowacity.com.
Don't miss the chance to learn from the pros. Check out WagerWise on Wednesdays on KGYMRadio.com. Brought to you by Betfred Sportsbook.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, thinking about gas mileage. You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Castrol Edge can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life oil filter for only $37.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Be more cyber zen. Get NordVPN. With a few simple clicks, NordVPN will block online trackers, secure your devices from malware-infected downloads, and block access to malicious websites. With NordVPN, enjoy internet without trackers, without malicious websites, without malware-ridden files. Be more cyber zen. Take advantage of our special offer now at NordVPN.com.
We are back, 3:36 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Thanks for joining us. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Andrew with you, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. Spencer on sports coming up next. Spencer will be on from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. More on college football. Don't forget to go to our website at KGYMRadio.com and take part in our poll question today, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Who wins tonight's Big Ten opener in Minneapolis, the Gophers or the Nebraska Cornhuskers? Very big game in the Big Ten West, and we'll talk a little bit about that before we depart today at 4 o'clock. And going to bring in right now, of course, Iowa and Utah State coming up on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, just past 11 a.m. with the kickoff for that one. Jason Turner covers the Aggies for the Logan Herald Journal. Kind enough to join us on a Thursday here in Eastern Iowa. And Jason, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And you got to be jetting out pretty soon to Iowa City, right?
Well, yeah, I'm not making the road trip. It's been outside of BYU. I haven't. The paper hasn't sent me to a non-conference road trip in a few years now. So, yeah, it would be nice to make it to Iowa this time of year. I hear it's beautiful, but I will not be there in person.
Well, you watch it. You will be cooler. It's going to be 95 degrees. So. you'll be better off with that anyway. But well, Utah State coming off a 6-win season a year ago, a bowl appearance. Not a lot, I guess, on the preseason prognosticators anyway minds for Utah State this year, picked middle back half of the Mountain West. What about this Aggie 2023 team that will be in Iowa City?
Yeah, you know what, I think it's a pretty fair preseason prediction based on how many players they lost to the transfer portal. And, you know, last year they went to a bowl game, but, you know, the previous season they won 11 games and won a Mountain West title. And last season was honestly a little bit of a disappointment. So I can see why they were picked to finish where they finished. And you're looking at a team who's going to be, there's 59 new first-year players on the roster this year, which is tied for the 6th most in the country. So a lot of unknowns heading into the 2023 season for Utah State.
Looks like about a dozen players came in through the portal, maybe more. But the majority of those were on the defensive side of the of things. Is that where Utah State wanted to shore things up?
Yeah, well, they kind of needed to. Their top three edge rushers production-wise from a year ago all transferred to Power 5 programs, so they lost their top three edge rushers. They lost their second-string defensive tackles also entered the portal. So starting linebackers at BYU now, another starting cornerbacks at Washington State. They lost a hybrid cornerback outside linebacker to Nevada. So yeah, they kind of needed to hit the portal and also went through the junior college ranks to replace some of those guys that they lost on defense.
New defensive coordinator as well for Utah State. In fact, and now Blake Anderson's going to be calling plays with a brand new offensive guy in charge. So you got that also as a factor going into Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. They've had the offense was installed during a spring camp, and so they've been able to work on that for a while. Same with the defense, but the defense, it's a new scheme, and it's a new coordinator because the former coordinator is coaching safeties for the Cleveland Browns now. So that's honestly probably the bigger question mark is how well they're going to adapt. They're going to pick up on the nuances of the new defensive scheme, which is more complicated than the previous scheme. Offensively, I think the changes are going to be for the better. The only question mark is whether or not a couple of years ago, it's been a few years now, Utah State's former head coach, Matt Wells, was also the offensive coordinator one season, and there was some end-of-game mismanagement, I think, just based on where, it's hard to pull off the double. And so for Utah State's sake, hopefully they'll avoid those kind of similar mishaps at the end of games.
Jason, where can Utah State possibly give Iowa problems?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it's for Utah State's offense, it's going to come down to how well they protect Cooper Legault. This is an offensive line with only one returning starter. A couple of guys who have played a substantial amount over the previous couple of years. I think the offensive line was an average, maybe slightly above average season for the offensive line last year. So it's going to boil down to how well they can protect Cooper Legault. And Iowa always has a potent pass rush. Blake Anderson made that abundantly clear during his Monday press conference that, yes, Iowa has good defensive backs, but those guys don't necessarily have to hold protection for very long because that defensive front always seems to be able to get consistent pressure. So I do think the Aggies have some weapons. It starts with slot receiver Terrell Vaughns, who last year, his first year in the program, caught 56 passes, but a good chunk of those catches were the second half of the season. He was a junior college All-American the previous year, and so I think it took him some time to get comfortable in the offense. They have some other skill guys. I think they have some good running backs this year, but I was obviously nobody's the type of team that's going to have a lot of success running ball against them. So can they protect Cooper Legault? It starts there.
Yeah. If you are a fan of punting, and we know Kirk Ferentz is because he talks about punting is winning, this is your cup of tea Saturday because two of the best in the country are going to be vying and going at it at Kinnick Stadium, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know Iowa has a good punter. I can speak more about Utah State's punter. This will be Stevens constantly. He's started ever since he arrived here in Logan as a true freshman, so this will be his fourth season as a starting punter. He's increased his average every year, and he does a good job with situational punting, and he also does a good job mixing up how he punts the ball. So I think he's very versatile in that regard. The Aggies are I'd be very surprised if they don't have to rely on him a lot. He's going to have to at least flip the field position for the Aggies to have a chance.
The Aggies must be aware of the wave at the end of the first quarter, right?
They must be aware of what? Sorry?
The wave at the end of the first quarter.
The wave isn't like the in the stands?
Yes, to the children's hospital. They got it, right? They got to be working on that.
Yeah.
Yes, they will take part in that coming up. Jason Turner joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM at 3:44. You mentioned the quarterback. He's a dual-threat guy, and dual-threat guys have been a little bit of a thorn in the side of Phil Parker's defense over the years. Obviously, he can run, throw a little bit. Got a pretty good weapon coming in from Stanford, this Bowman kid as well. And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, can he make this offense move a little bit?
You know what? I think so. I think the new scheme is going to fit to his skill set a little bit better. I think last year Utah State didn't spread the field like they could have. They like to run those sideline patterns and maybe didn't. I don't think they use the middle of the field as well as they could have. And they definitely have some guys this year that are capable of doing that. Not only Vaughn, Bowman on the outside, but you brought in Micah Davis, who was at Iowa Western last year, helped the Reavers win a national title there, was a proven playmaker at Air Force the season before. I think they're going to use him all over the field, but he can definitely find space in the middle of the field. And then Kyle Van Leeuwen is healthy. Well, knock on wood for him, because he has struggled with injuries in the past. Another slot guy who could, spread the field and kind of loosen up the middle of the field there. And the Aggies are definitely they're determined to use the tight end position more in the passing game this year. So I don't know. I think having more weapons and using more of the field is going to help Legault. We'll find out right away playing what's always a very good Iowa defense.
This team last year was -9 in turnover margin. That's got to be fixed, right?
Yeah, they led the nation in interceptions last year. A lot of those problems was at the very beginning of the season. But yeah, too many turnovers, but more so in the interceptions thrown department. They were pretty good ball control wise in the running game in terms of fumbling. But yeah, that absolutely has to be. They have to win the turnover margin to have a chance.
Yeah. What's going to happen with the Mountain West? Or do you have any idea?
I don't. I mean, I think the most likely scenario is a reverse merger with Oregon State and Washington State and the Pac-12. Maybe they try to add a couple of teams from the American. I think the dream would be to get a Gonzaga and maybe a St. Mary's to come on and play basketball. But I think the Mountain West is going to be okay. There's a really stiff exit fee. It's going to make it hard for Mountain West teams to leave. So I think the league is going to be okay. And I ultimately think that they're going to join forces with Washington State and Oregon State.
Well, it'd be a good fit. Obviously, I mean, nothing against Corvallis and Pullman or anything like that, but it just seems, I mean, it would seem to me anyway, that's common sense.
Yes, it's definitely common sense. Now, common sense doesn't dictate how things necessarily transpire in college football, but yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me as well.
There you go. You got the kids with you, right?
Yeah, I have a nearly 4-year-old who definitely does not lack energy.
Very good. All right. Well, it should be interesting. Utah State and Iowa coming up on Saturday. And, hey, Jason, thanks for the insight. Thanks for the time. And best of luck to the Aggies this year.
Appreciate your time.
You bet. Thanks. Jason Turner joining us from the Logan Herald Journal on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM at 3:48.
And, yeah, he's Googling the wave right now. He had no clue what the wave was. Thank you, Jason, for your information on Utah State. But wow.
They got him. You would think they've been practicing that, right?
Well, they're going to find out.
Or it's going to be a big surprise. Coming up at the end of the first quarter. I think they're fine with it. All right, 3:48, coming up on 3:49. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk a little bit about college football for tonight. And we got some text to answer as well, 319-366-1600. Your thoughts about college football getting underway, et cetera, et cetera. So stay with us. More to come. Gym Class for a Thursday on KGYM.
Every piece of land has a story. The upshot's right there is with a John Deere 1 Series tractor they call Penny.
when your project comes up, you have to just jump in and get involved with it.
From front loader to backhoe, the Upshaws have the tools to DIY all day long. Get a 1-series tractor starting at $129 per month at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Make the most of your land with a good, clean deal from City Tractor. Visit us at citytractor.com.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Sarah wants a yard.
My own little paradise.
Brad, however, hates yard work.
The only thing I hate more than cutting the grass is paying someone to cut the grass.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Sarah and Brad found a great home with a yard. A very, very small yard.
Time to get it done. And I'm done.
Bundling without compromise at geico.com.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
3:51, back with you here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, we'll take a look at the Saturday slate, Sunday slate, Monday slate in college football. We'll talk about that, get our predictions for Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll have the first edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, chance to win a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway. We'll have that for you coming up tomorrow. Don't forget, next week, Cy-Hawk Week, we've got another edition of Coach's Cuts brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. That will be next Tuesday with Spencer on sports from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock as they are the missing piece to your IT puzzle. 319-366-1600. Mark a few things that people have on their minds. Number one, 5037 stating that he will or she will absolutely hate cheering for the Fighting Flex tonight. That would be Minnesota as they take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers. 5935 with a question for us. Talk me out of the bet, which is Florida and Utah to both score a TD and a field goal in each half. Got crazy odds. What do you think about that, Mark? You're the Utah guy last year. No Cam Rising tonight. He was hurt in the bowl game last year. The number two got tied by the number three. So a little bit of a quarterback issue right now in Salt Lake City. And then you've got Graham Mertz, ladies and gentlemen, the trademark himself, debuting for the Florida Gators tonight. Do you put your trust in Graham Mertz to score a touchdown?
Well, it's two different questions. The prop bet is crazy. Probably will bring some good odds. I'm not going to steer you one direction or another. For both teams to score a TD and field goal in each half, that happens a lot, but sometimes not very often. I think Utah wins this game.
I think they do as well, but I think Florida's going to keep it close. They got really good running backs coming back for the trademark to turn around and hand it off to. I don't put a lot of confidence and stock into Graham Mertz. He's got to show me something. He's got to show me something. So we'll see. What do you like, Minnesota or Nebraska tonight?
I think it's going to be a very close game, and I'm going to take a flyer on Nebraska, and come Friday morning, Nebraska will be on its ear with excitement, much like it was last night when the volleyball team set an all-time women's attendance record, 92,003 people at Memorial Stadium.
And say what you will about Nebraska, and Iowans have a lot of – I think the one common commonality between Iowa State and Iowa fans is the fact that they can kind of both pile on the Huskers a little bit. But, you know, hats off to the 92,003 that were there. No matter if you got to see it or not, from your top row perch in the second deck at Memorial Stadium, it was still a spectacle, and they did it upright. They even had a D2 game that was played prior to it. Wayne State was involved. I did not see who they were volleyballing against, but I know it was Wayne State, which is, of course, from Wayne, Nebraska, if anyone was asking or wondering about that. But that was pretty cool. Now, 3148 asks, will Iowa women's basketball challenge the Nebraska women's volleyball record? Well, no, because Kenny, first of all, doesn't seat 92,003. Now, they had seats on the playing surface of Memorial Stadium, but still, you're not going to get – Iowa women's basketball is not going to get 92,003 for the scrimmage against DePaul.
No, and Memorial Stadium seats 85 and change, I think. So with the field seating, it was 92,003. Just one more point on the football game tonight. I think Jeff Sims, the transfer quarterback, is going to make a difference for Nebraska.
I think the Huskers are going to be much improved this year. But I don't know if it's going to be right out of the chute. I like the fact Minnesota has a returning quarterback. I know Morgan is not there anymore. I know Ibrahim is not there anymore. But I think the Gophers have just enough to get by tonight. I did not see the spread on that game, but I might be tempted to take Nebraska in the points. But I like Minnesota to win that game. If Nebraska wins that game on the road, it's one game, it's August 31st, but does that make Nebraska a bona fide contender in the West?
More so than Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's a pivotal game. The line, by the way, is Minnesota by 7.5.
Ooh. Yeah, I definitely would think about Nebraska in that one. But who knows how the Gophers come out? They could come out, set the land of 10,000 lakes on fire tonight. Remains to be seen. But I think Minnesota's got to win that game. They got more pressure on them than the Big Red tonight. But like you said, if Nebraska or Minnesota loses this game tonight, Minnesota doesn't win the West, I would think, anyway.
No, I don't think so either.
Even though they've got Wisconsin at home for the Axe in the last game of the year. Should be entertaining tonight, Minnesota and Nebraska. More on that game and the Thursday night slate coming up next with Spencer on Sports. He'll be with you from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. We will get our picks dialed in for the Pick 6 brought to you by Emil's Hideaway tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And we'll also have we'll get into the crystal ball and see exactly how we perceive things in the Big 10, Big 12, Iowa State, Iowa, UNI, etc. So we'll do that, and then we'll write them down, and then we'll laugh in late December, Mark.
Typical, yeah.
All right, that's going to wrap things up. Andrew, thanks. Appreciate it. And, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 with another edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
This is an important notice to all U.S. taxpayers. The IRS is giving away billions of dollars in tax savings through a federal program called the Fresh Start Initiative to aid delinquent taxpayers. This initiative was established for anyone facing financial hardship and unable to pay their back taxes. Qualifying and enrolling in this program will stop all collections, settle your delinquent tax problem, and even reduce what you owe by thousands of dollars. Call the hotline at People's Tax Relief to see if you qualify and get this free information.